And we are live on Discovery Paranormal. I will tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, and whatever you designate yourselves as, the universe is a globulous, globuly type of syrupy mix of stuff, right? And we're stuck in it. We're so stuck. Think about it, you know? Something how big the universe. We're just stuck. It's like being stuck in a cradle or something, man. You just can't get out of it. And there's a whole big freaking world out there, and you can't access it. Why do you think it's like that? You ever ask yourself that? You ever sit there and ponder about why things are, why choices are so limited, and how fragile life is in general, how fragile the environments are in general? You know, basically, if you looked at humans objectively, we're, you know, disgruntled surface creatures. You know what I'm saying? The fleas on the dog are mad. And then do they blame the other fleas for stuff? And you know what? The bigger, fatter, nastier fleas in charge make people's lives a living hell. I get that. I see that. I realized that a long time ago. I'm going to tell you the secret of life. You want to know the secret of life? Everybody want to listen in? See what the secret of life is? The secret of life is staying away from the bullshit. Staying away as much as you possibly can. The machine is going to do what it does. It's going to go and roll on. You make sure the machine doesn't roll over you or anyone you love. You try to keep them away from it. You try to keep yourself away from it. And you can do that. You can navigate through hell successfully and even say that you had a good time at times, man, and get the heck out of there, you know? But if you get caught up in it, you're stuck, right? And then you're in the middle of the mix. So, but why is it like that? And does it, well, will it surprise you if I tell you that everything you know doesn't mean anything, and all the stuff that you see and are a part of aren't real? What about that? And then you start thinking, well, look at reality. We talk a lot on this show. Other people get into it also about quantum physics and other types of realities, you know, so dimensional space and all that. Things that we don't even know yet, you know, things that we as a people are just brushing upon. You know, so it's going to take a long time if humans even survive, which I think, of course, humans will survive. Humans are like an infectious disease upon the planet Earth. You know, it's like herpes. It's not going to go away. It's just going to be there. It's going to be there. You know, it's like luggage. You keep it forever. It's just going to be there. You know, but let's assume for a minute that the universe is not, and the laws that you think, and this is going to be a deep discussion, man. You might want to take a toke for this one. You might want to have a snob, a little bit of whiskey or something, man, because you're going to have to let your mind go. Because I'm going to tell you stuff that is contrary to everything that you think. All right. So imagine in a world, things don't have, the same logical reasoning that you would have for, you know, even like, okay, you got your ruler, your 12 inches, right? A foot. You take that foot, you run around with it, you measure all kinds of stuff for that foot, man. And then you know something about that object, those things, that distance. But what if all that isn't true and all that doesn't matter? Aha! So, aside from the pothead language, this stuff back in the day, Carl Sagan was a huge pothead, notorious, man. I used to hang out with his father-in-law, you know, believe it or not. And then just the funny stuff that would come out of this guy, like about Carl Sagan, and it's cool that he used to just sit there and get loaded and think about the universe and just, you know, relax his mind enough. And, you know, I don't know. I just think it's interesting. So when it comes to stoner logic, I can understand it. And I embrace it, man. I embrace all kinds of logic, all kinds of wisdom. If you have traveled the road, I want to hear that story. I want to know your experiences, man. Those emotions. You know what I mean? So, okay. Quantum mechanics for dummies, as it were. You know, I don't know if there is a quantum mechanics, but there probably is. I'm not referencing that. Quantum mechanics is a unified theory that sets out to bridge differences between classical physics. So the kind, the kind that follows Newton's laws, what we'll say, of that classical outlook on physics. As we develop as people, as we embrace new technologies, now we have supercomputers that can work much faster than a human brain, obviously, come up with amazing equations, all kinds of you can, whatever numbers you enter, you're going to get answers out of it, right? Getting faster, getting better. Now we're into that whole quantum mechanics of computing, you know, a whole different world, right? So I was also reading recently about a new matter. In fact, I want to discuss that maybe on a future show, a new matter that they discovered, you know, and which is a glasses type of thing that they're looking to use for computer chips, you know, and going off of their base, what they're using now, which will make it even faster and better. So, and we're just monkeys, man. Naked monkeys. Maybe you're naked. I don't know. Running around with a self-superiority complex, you know, coming up with the most amazing crap I've ever heard from a bunch of creatures that should just be happy that they've got what they need from day to day. But people aren't. They don't, you know, they don't think like that. There's a handful that think like that. The people who look at the stars, the people that think, you know, what are we? What were we? Where did we come from? You know what I mean? The real questions that you can explore, right? Not, oh, I stole this TV set. You know what I mean? Or I'm mad. Brah, so I'm going to hurt people. I'm going to smash and crash because I'm mad. Brr. Come on, man. Too primitive, you know. You got to get beyond that type of mentality. Until people do, people will never move on. You know, they'll never evolve. It's going to take a hell of a long time. So, but anyway, looking beyond classical physics, right? Quantum physics. And let me tell you, the whole paranormal world is full of it. Full of it. The people that say there's no science in the paranormal, they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't even know. Even the whole word paranormal is misunderstood or mislabeled. You know, supposedly things you can't prove with science. It's all science. From the bottom to the top, it's all science. It's all radio waves. From the bottom to the top, it's all frequency. From the bottom to the top. And then there is no bottom and top. You know? So scientists have spent the past century or so trying to figure out the two worlds of our world and the micro world of physics, right? And then the question starts. You start asking yourself, once you get into this research, if you're really into it, you start questioning yourself, itself, everything, you know, reality itself, what reality really is. Is reality real? Right? So, classical world of physics, we believe that we live in, and we know an object moving in a straight line at 100 miles per hour will travel, you know, that 100 miles per hour in an hour. You go on 100 miles an hour in a car, you know that you'll be 100 miles in 1 hour. Right? Okay. Works the same way every time. You know, unless some outside force acts upon the object, you know, an armadillo runs in front of your car, for instance, maybe an alligator. Depends on where you live, man. Around here, maybe a deer, you know, crackhead, something like that. Something you got to stop for, or maybe you don't want to stop for it. depends on what kind of driver you are, or if you're one of those Teslas that seem to like run people over. The Teslas have a real edge to them. You know what I mean? maybe they're offended. But so if you know the speed of the object and position of the object, we can determine where it will be in the future, right? Quantum mechanics doesn't care about time. It doesn't exist necessarily in quantum mechanics. Maybe a part of it. Maybe it's a thing, a dimensional thing. So depending on how you interpret the scientific findings and empirical evidence that quantum mechanics is built on, time is a very fluid construct because subatomic particles don't act like regular objects. They also act like waves. So we can't make the same determinations about objects over time in the quantum scale. It's completely gloopy. You know what I mean? It's gloopy. So now we cannot know quantum objects' position and speed at the same time because in quantum mechanics, all outcomes can be equally possible. Boom. Every outcome can be equally possible. Right? This can get confusing when you're dealing with infinite possibilities. And I mean infinite. Imagine you take your little monkey brain outside of its box and you think about that infinite. Going on. You know what was infinite? The movie Interstellar, right? I like the dude in there. He's cool, man. But the movie was infinite because it went on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I never thought it was going to be over, man. I was like, oh, my God. And I almost refused to walk out on a movie, even if I buy it. And I bought this movie. And it had Matthew McConaughey. I'm like, there's got to be some kind of cool. I'm going to check this out. I paid like $25 for it. It was like right when I went on DVD. That's right. I buy DVDs. And I only watched it once. And man, I had to wrench myself through that. Because he went into that black hole and he was gone and he was off in another universe and blah, 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 and back and forth and ended up in the book that he's trying to communicate with his daughter from years before. And he comes back all young and she's all freaking old and whatever. Yeah. By the time I finished watching that movie, I too was old. I had a big, long, wispy beard. It's like 20 years, man. You know, come on. I like a good movie. I want to be in. I want to be out. You know what I mean? I don't want it to last. I don't want it last on me. You know what I mean? Making me laugh and making me cry. That's fine. I want to be in. I want to be out. I don't want to be dedicated, like time wise, to sit there for hours and watch a movie. That's just my rant on movies right now. So, yeah. So, right now, you're you, and the things that you seem, to you exist, and the people around you, right? The screen in front of you is real, as far as you can tell. But your classical perspective limits your understanding of reality to those things that you can sense, experience, and cognate, right? So according to the Copenhagen interpretation of quantum mechanics, that screen is only here because you observed it. Ooh, boom! That means your teacher's only there because you were checking them out. You make them exist. Ah. Because if you're doing an experiment classically, and anything that you're doing by observing the experiment changes the experiment. See? That's what I said, man. You better be hitting that whiskey. Or whatever. Mountain Dew, whatever you got. So the myriad positions that an object's waveform can ultimately take are like unformed predictions waiting for someone like you to come along, take a measurement by simply observing, and cause the universe to and will fork the object's reality. Basically, you form that reality, right? I talked about a recent show, a couple shows ago, whatever it was, about how your emotions form the world around you, that your emotions and how they separated people from their DNA, and their DNA reacted emotionally. Like when they got emotional, you know, whatever they're blasted with, their DNA reacted without transmission time, even up to 50 miles away. Talk about quantum mechanics, you know? So basically, you're God, because you're the one making everything happen around you, everything that you see and do, all of these things. So when people say, my life sucks, all these things happen to me, are they happening to you? Or are you observing it in that way and thinking in a certain way where those things happen and it happens bad because you created it? So you're a crappy God at that, if you're worried about that type of stuff. So maybe you don't want to believe that you're a God. Too much responsibility. You know what I mean? A lot of listening, a lot of looking out for people. You know what I mean? a lot, right? You could just say, okay, God is a lot of a lot, right? Perhaps you're more comfortable with the idea of being real, whether people are around to observe it or not, right? That makes sense, doesn't it? That's basically the de Broglie bomb pilot wave interpretation. The interpretation is deterministic on, it says everything was already going to be what it ends up being, and there's never really any ambiguity about it. It requires no observers, so in this model of our existence, it's pointless, whatever, if you want to believe that, because they all have their little theories. I've got mine too, but it's different. My theory is totally different because I know what I've experienced as a ghost hunter. That's right. I said ghost hunter. I know what I've experienced. I know what people have experienced who have a lot more experience than me doing this. I mean, you know, we just did a show last night with a whole host of people hosting, a host of hosts. And, you know, we talk politics, but these people are experienced in the paranormal world for whatever which way, right? And they all have their kind of passion to go what direction, but it's all their interpretation, and it's all what they do, right? I had a friend one time who was pretty deep spiritually, and still have a friend. He's still kicking. I had a friend, but, you know, he's like a Native American shaman, right? And very deep individual. And he knows that I do these paranormal investigations, you know. So there are people, like religious people, you could tell paranormal, and they're like, oh my God, you're Satan, demons, blah. And then they kind of dismiss you as you're an occultist, and they stone you to death and torture you, burn you alive, and go eat lasagna afterwards. They're Italian, of course. But the reality is, he said, well, what if you're doing these investigations and you're talking to these ghosts? He's like, how do you know that they're not investigating you and talking to you and you're the ghost? Boom. See, when people say stuff like that, you have to think about this. So how about the many worlds theory, right? Many worlds theory. It's actually having a resurgence in popularity. The many worlds theory is the opposite of the pilot wave one. It says that every possibility is real and manifests across infinite universes. You might have heard something like that, that everything you do, every decision you make, all the other stuff is mirrored and goes to a different direction and whatever and other. So, I mean, if you're at one crossroads and you choose to go right, but you can go straight and left or whatever, all those other realities are played out at the same time. There's a lot of you out there. So it says that every possible reality is real and is infinite across the universes, plural. You're alive in this universe, dead in another. In another, your name is Rick. In another, your name is Sally. You know? Whatever the hell your name is. All things are not only possible, but definite in a reality with an infinite universe. All things are played out, right? So maybe in another universe, you're really, really, really good looking. Did you ever think of that? You ever think of that? Maybe you're really freaking happy. You got it all, man. So, but that brings us to the whole I'm not a God, well, the whole I'm not a God thing. How about the ensemble theory? All right. So this one says that all things are possible, but only outcome, only one outcome shall manifest. You know, so the universe itself prepares an infinite number of systematic possibilities. A series of events will lead to the eventual reality. So here's your choices. But are they choices? They're just possibilities from wherever the wind blows. You know, when certain things happen, people are like, I know that was meant to happen, you know? Even the terrible things, that was meant to happen, right? Imagine having the heads up for things like that. That's why a psychic can tell you all kinds of stuff if they're good at their job. They can give you the heads up, kind of, sort of, not really. You got to try to make sense out of what they say. It's very cryptic, you know, unless they actually can spell it out for you. This is going to happen in so-and-so date. I had the psychic David Starr, and then, you know, I was a gearhead into Camaros and Firebirds when I was young, you know, and then this guy lived in Brooklyn. So I go see him every New Year's Eve, like during the day. That was like my, for a yearly reading, it was kind of a pilgrimage I made. And then he kind of looked at me and smiled and he started laughing a little bit. He's like, your car is going to need to be towed. I'm like, my car? It's like, no way. I can usually fix whatever I got to fix. And I have friends that were gearheads too, who could fix stuff. So, you know, it was kind of laughable. Ha 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 ha, David. How dare you say that to me? And then he's like, does the word dowdy mean anything to you? I'm like, dowdy. I'm like, not at all. And he's like, six, and I'm seeing dowdy and you're going to need to be towed. I'm like, six, you know, and you know, I kind of laughed it off and whatever. That was New Year's Eve. Then on June 6th, 6-6, my car blew its gas filter, gasoline all over my engine, broke down, had to go into this bodega and find out what the address was because someone had stolen the street sign. And he says, Dowdy Boulevard, Dowdy. Like, David. There you go. And I laughed to myself. I had a laugh over it because who would have thunk it, man? It's not something you can plan for. So in the world of possibilities, that's all that happened. But he was able to see it months before, right? So I suppose that your universe is special, though, you know? And I'm just a lucky object to have been observed by you, you know? Like, that's kind of like the way it makes you kind of like feel like, hey, man, thanks, you know? Thanks for observing me, you know what I mean? So there are other interpretations, but these are among the most persuasive and possible in popular physics world. Now, keep in mind, all of this multidimensional stuff and all this deep stuff in physics talk, whatever, these are scientists with a lot of degrees sitting around discussing this. But then a lot of them will say, but I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in UFOs, you know. How could you believe in all of this, you know, there's a lot of this, multiple dimension, whatever interpretations you can come up with for physics and quantum physics. How could you believe in that and not believe in the rest? Or not at least be open enough to it, you know. So when I did my ghost show in local in Ithaca on cable, I had people at Cornell watching it, man, and they contacted me. They had, you know, these were scientists. These were astrophysicists, some of them, and they were like, my God, you know, the stuff you get is amazing. They're like, you know, and I'm not faking it. I'm putting it out there as it is. They're seeing me use scientific equipment to get responses. So it was an acknowledgement by the scientific community to me when you have, you know, more than three people come who are scientists who are like, wow. And you're opening up their eyes. I'm opening up their eyes. That's pretty damn cool, man. So, but in our human senses, perhaps our human senses are deceiving us. If we only have a few, and we don't have that many. I mean, you see stuff, you feel stuff, you hear stuff, you know. And is this, you know what? I believe in telepathic thought. I know people that are even connected telepathically. Mothers, daughters, other family type of people, twins I've met that were telepathically connected. They have a pathway between them, undeniable. No matter how far they're separated, they have that feeling that it's like a highway running back and forth, you know? So, but our human senses, who's to say what we see and what we experience is the real thing? Maybe that's just the way we're designed. Look at all the creatures on the planet, mice, you know, snakes, whatever, rattlesnakes. They basically see heat, right? So all the rattlesnakes are going to have the same type of thing going on. They're not going to see things the way we see things. Their perception is totally different. It's based on something completely different. But to them, it's completely normal. So how do we know that what we see is what we see? And what we touch is what we touch. You know, everything is a frequency in radio waves. And then I am told by certain scientific groups that just because the desk in front of you is hard to your touch and you can bang on it and knock on it and hear a noise, you could break it to pieces too and all that. It's just, what if it's just the frequency that your body is responding to of a reality that you created by witnessing it, right? So the idea that everything we know is merely a construct of our minds is, it has been talked about multiple times. You can tune to the History Channel any given time. If there's not somebody on there eating bugs or hunting alligators or eating old stuff, there's a show where these guys are like eating old stuff. It's like, you know, really? Waste your time doing that? I'd rather see the guys like picking antiques. Give me their car guy with some cool cars, anything. But eating old stuff. Yeah, anyway. But what is real? And how can you be certain that the universe around us actually exists? So it's like when you look out in space when you're young and you're hanging out with your friends, you're laying in the grass, you're looking up at the stars, and you know that those planets way out there, those galaxies way out there, all that stuff, that light takes a long time to get to us. For all we know, that stuff is gone. It could have been gone for a billion years and we wouldn't know, depending on what it is and where it is, right? So how can we actually know? And, you know, now when you're looking out into space, any which way you look, you're not looking ahead in time. You're not looking back in time. You're kind of looking back in time because that's how long that light takes to get to you. But in quantum physics, there is no length of time. You can go one place to the other. Boom. It's like that, right? So how we know the world is what we experience and what we apply those experiences to from our past experiences, things that we've learned. Just like when people have negative experiences and then they suffer their whole lives because, you know, child abuse or, you know, something terrible happened to them in the past. They can't get past it because it's infused in part of them, you know. So to really get past something like that, you have to understand how it came in, where it is, and how you can process it to make it go, you know. So it's about perception, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, neurological linguistic programming. I talk about it from time to time, and it's a really good way to understand your brain and, like, train your brain, especially if you want to, you know, take, you know, we're still basically primitive creatures, you know what I mean? And you have to be able to understand how your brain works to be able to push things out like that. But so human senses are fallible, right? What people think and what they perceive is just filtered and processed by the brain to construct a useful view of the world. So normally this type of filtering is helpful. It depends on who it is and what they do. If they're the president, you don't want them to be limited in their thoughts. You know what I mean? It can be detrimental if they're in control. And sometimes people get to be, you know, in powerful positions, CEOs and whatever, making decisions for other people who are very limited and really, I mean, really limited. And then their senses, their perception and their senses. I mean, you know people who are quick on the draw when it comes to being offended, right? And I love these people. To me, they're food. You know what I mean? You got that emotion going on. And you know what? Like, there was just this chick the other day on my friend's Facebook, right? And the guy had posted an article from the New York Post, right? She's like, New York Post is fake news. And then just refuses to believe anything the article said. And the New York Post is actually pretty right on these days for many years now. So I wouldn't designate them as fake news. I would designate CNN as fake news. I wouldn't designate the New York Post as fake news. Anyway, so I like to play around with people, man. I don't like to be so serious all the time. And hardly any, because seriousness is boring to me. You know, I guess there's a time and a place for everything. You don't be cracking jokes at someone's funeral necessarily. I'm not saying I haven't been to any where people weren't cracking jokes. Well, hell, man, if you can't laugh on your way out, what's the point of living? You know what I mean? So, but having a laugh at other people's expense is wrong. It's definitely wrong. Wrong. I know. I can't even say it with a straight face. So like, this chick's on there, and it's somebody that I knew from my hometown, except she doesn't remember me because I'm thinner now, you know? So she doesn't remember me from high school days. But she made a statement, so I just put in parentheses, I don't believe it. That's all I did. I don't believe it. And I was LOL, you know, or laugh my ass off, laugh my fucking ass off, whatever. She comes back with both guns, right? Breathing fire, blood coming out of her eyes and everywhere. You know, and she's like, you don't know me. She's like, raises big, long, giant thing. And I got to tell you about me. When people are trying to do that to me, texting, if they're angry or whatever, they write these big, long rants. I don't really read them at all, you know? And I'll answer with a word or two or like, ha. Oh, you want to see someone completely explode? And then she's like, you're judging me and whatever. I just wrote, I don't believe it. And I laughed about it, man, you know? So then I didn't answer her. They have these GIFs, you know, GIF, a GIF, which is a little animated, you know, sequence of video. And so they have this little angry girl who's like making a really mean face and shaking something. Put an angry little girl. It'll come up. That's one of my favorite things to send people who are angry. You know, like, no matter. She's like, shaking this thing. Because that's people. People and their emotions are out of control, man. She's letting somebody else control her emotions, and I'm laughing about it at the same time. What a country, you know? So, you know, that's the internet, man. People get so offended so quickly about anything, and you don't even have to say anything offensive necessarily for them to perceive it as offensive, you know? I'm a comedian, basically, man, you know? So, I mean, I like to laugh. So, when you're filtering in your world, trying to figure out if things are real, if I'm even real, if I'm just the voices in your head, this filtering ability can become a weakness, right? Because if you're, you know, let's say you're watching a magician, a good magician will tap into universal brain processes that underlie perception, you know? So, for instance, a magician often directs the audience's gaze to one hand while he does something with the other, you know, trickery. So our perceptual system can be fooled, but that doesn't mean all to mean that we're constructing reality and that we're also all the same. If I say the word automobile to you, you're going to get an image of an automobile in your brain. It's happening right now. But the image of automobile for you and for the person next to you and the one down the street and for me are all going to be different. and maybe not even the two ever completely the same color, style, just the image that hits you, just like that, you know? In paranormal investigations, I had to relax my brain enough to receive those flashes, boom, when you get hit with something. And your scientific mind tries to make sense out of things, or maybe not even, that's not even a good word for it, your logic, your current perception of logic, what you apply. Can you understand what's coming through to you right now? Think of the world of radio waves and what we receive, and the things that we can't see, different spectrums of light that we can't see without special equipment, you know, or sounds that we can't hear without special equipment, or tones or frequencies that we can't generate without special equipment. Think of that stuff like that. You know what I mean? Just think of it for a minute. Keep it all in your mind, because as members of a society, if people create a form of collective reality, we're all part of the community of our minds, like a gigantic Facebook all over the world, you know? So, for example, and for instance, money in reality consists of pieces of paper, right? You ever look at money? You ever have a lot of money and look at money? And I mean, like thousands of bucks in your hand, like $100 bills, and you're just looking at them, and you're like, this is stupid. Like, this is just paper, right? So it consists of pieces of paper, yet that paper represents something much more valuable. The pieces of paper have the power of life and death, literally. People die because of poverty. People die because they don't have, you know, or whatever. I mean, you know, all kinds of instances or things can come of it if you don't have it. That's why it's important for people to have it, you know? But money wouldn't be worth anything if people didn't believe in that power, if they didn't breathe life into it or back it up in some way to make it worth something, right? Money is fiction, but it's useful fiction. So another fiction humans collectively engage in is optimism, right? So neuroscientist Tali Sharrett of University College London, who studies the optimism bias, people's tendency to generally overestimate the likelihood of positive events in their lives and underestimate the likelihood of negative ones. But if you do that, are you making a pathway yourself for success? Because if you tell yourself you can't, you won't. If you tell yourself you can, you will, right? So Sharrett did an experiment in which she puts a man in a brain scanner and asked him to rate the likelihood of negative events, as you know, such as lung cancer, what's going to happen to him, whatever, man. And then he's given the true likelihood, right? But when the actual risks differ from the man's estimates, his frontal lobes light up. But the brain area does a better job of reacting to the discrepancy when the reality is more positive than what he had guessed. So, of course, right? This shows how humans are somewhat hardwired to be optimistic, but people like a good outcome. You know what I mean? And I think people always think the worst for themselves anyway. People tend to worry about a lot of stuff, you know? So, and in all that wasted energy, I think that could direct you to be a success or a failure. So, but optimistic people for certain tend to live longer, healthier, more successful lives. So the act of positive thinking is creating that environment around you, you know, and that's something that people need, and not be negative, not be around that toxicity, right? So you don't want to get sucked up by toxic people. But the world can be a weak place and can be a strong place. I think there's a lot of strength in kindness, for instance, you know. But then there's a lot of like weird things that use stupidity or outcomes that people kind of tend to push off, like smoking cigarettes and getting lung cancer, you know. It says it right on the package. This can cause lung cancer. This has caused lung cancer. Smoking causes lung cancer, right? But people smoke. and they don't expect to get lung cancer, you know, or if they do, they think about it way in the future, right? They're not thinking in more realistic terms. So that's also part of a optimistic reality that could come into play to hurt you. You know what I mean? So physical reality, right? Physicists look beyond the human mind for external reality. But even that reality isn't absolutely true. Fundamental reality, as scientists understand it, is based on quantum mechanics, a realm where all manner of strange things occur. Strange to us, but not strange to what goes on in the quantum mechanic world. And then also, if that's the smaller micro, there's got to be a mega. There's got to be tiers, levels, steps, and all kinds of dimensional exchanges up and down, like a little cascading waterfall, right? It makes sense. So now electron, you know what an electron is. Electron can behave as either a particle or a wave, right? Depending on how you measure it. So scientists can measure either a particle position or its momentum at any given time, but never both. Quantum mechanics is simply the best theory we've ever developed. Another physicist, Stephen Nunn of MIT, says, "I absolutely believe reality is a real thing, but that doesn't mean we understand it or that it's real to others." So it's not something you can sink your teeth into, you know? And Nunn was part of a team of scientists who found evidence in 2012 for the Higgs boson, the particle that gives other particles their mass, right? So the universe may turn out to have more dimensions than we know about, where fundamental forces behave very differently than how we perceive them. For example, gravity. Gravity is the weakest of the four fundamental forces, but in other dimensions, it could be just as strong. So things would be very different in this hidden reality, and then things would be very different if there wasn't gravity. Yeah, I think that just even keeping change in your pocket would be incredibly difficult. Need some little zippers going on. So the universe could be a kind of a hologram, right? Hard light hologram. The amount of information that can be stored in a region of space is proportional to the region's surface area rather than its volume. And talk about information. You know, the size of my fingernail, I can get a little SD card. It's got, you know, over 100 gigabytes of space, man, for a little tiny nothing, for cheap money. You know, I mean, we're not talking about some heavy scientific equipment. You're talking about just going to any kind of store that has that and buy it. It's incredible the amount of storage. My first real computer, a compact Presaria, was 15 gigabytes. 15 gigs, you know? Now I laugh at 15 gigs. Now I'm in the world of terabytes. Then there's coming petabytes. Petabytes, 1,000 terabytes. So we're humans and we're coming up with this technology. Imagine anybody who's further on with technology, especially if it's based in other things and not based on things from this planet necessarily, the elements from this planet, other elements that could move electricity faster or come up with other forms of energy that goes beyond that electric world, right? Because it's not the only thing, you know? So, but yeah, I got to end the show, man. Anyway, all these views of the world and those that we perceive in our minds and those that physicists discover in the universe and what you discover for yourself, because, you know, these physicists are great. They know a lot of stuff, but man, they don't know everything. You know, if they can learn from someone like me, they can learn from anybody that does anything. They should, it's about observing, right? Isn't that the whole thing with science? You observe. Check it out. So whatever the flavor of your reality is what it is, man. So make that reality good. Focus and make the reality around you the best possible thing. And don't worry about bad this and whatever. You think that glass is half full and you think about good things for yourself and the people around you, good things for your family. You focus on that. Don't focus on the bad. And don't be so apt to believe the bad. Don't be overly optimistic, because that could lead to disaster too. But find that balance. to keep yourself on that positive level. That's really what it is, you know, because what humans perceive as reality may be no more than just an illusion. But in the end, it doesn't really matter, does it? I'm going to end the show there. This is Michael Angry on Discovery Paranormal, and I will see you then, now, there, in the future, back and forth, another dimension, all these different dimensions, bop, everywhere on UPRN, United Public Radio Network, UPRN, talkradio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 Past Christian, coming at you in the universe. I'll see you guys next week.
Echo, Foxtrot, Charlie.
Hey man, you left.
What the hell? Bleep. Turn that off.
Took off.
Oh man, how's it going?
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.